Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's sermon, it's about Jesus, as it always should be. It's also about the relationship that God has given us with him. And then it's also about how we function now as Christians in our daily lives. We're going to go back to today's gospel reading, first of all, and answer the question, who is Jesus? We live in a world today where many have all kinds of ideas about that, but the way we know the truth is to go to God's Word. And what did God the Father himself say about Jesus on the day he was baptized? He said, "This is my Son." So though Jesus looked like an ordinary man, he is in fact Emmanuel, God with us. And then going on to what God does in baptism. We believe that baptism is a downward arrow because God is taking action through baptism to be a blessing to us who desperately need that action. So here we were, dead in our sins. We could not make ourselves alive. We could not fix it. So what did God do? God took action through baptism in order to unite us to Christ. In a sense, there was a marriage that came about. Think about it like this. Our sin and the death we deserve was married to Jesus Christ, his sinless life, and the death that he died for us. So the thing we needed the most, God granted it to us right in baptism or right through that sacrament of holy baptism. God has blessed us so much. And then we saw from today's reading in Romans chapter 6 that having been united to Christ, Paul wrote that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That was true of our lives before we were united to Christ. We were listening to and being obedient to all of the guidance to sin in our lives. But now God wants us to see how we have died to that. Now we are united to Christ. Now we have different lives. Now, as it said in Romans 6, we are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Having been united to Christ, what does that do for our prayers? We think about that passage there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, where it says, "For there is one God," so we're thinking here of God the Father, "one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So we're at the bottom, God the Father is at the top, and Jesus Christ is right in the middle. So he is the one mediator. We go through him in order to get to God the Father. Like years ago when I was a Teamster, we couldn't talk to management. We had to go through the union. They were the mediator, if you will, between us as regular workers and the management or the owners of the company where we worked. So Christ is that one mediator, so now we can pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and now we know that the way is open for us one day to be brought by God the Father to him in heaven, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Through him, the way is open. So when we think about praying then, think about the Lord's Prayer, for example. We are saying, "Our Father." Can we comprehend how the Almighty God can be our Father? It's hard to do that, but God wants us to know that is true. So Jesus is God. We have been united to Christ in baptism. The way is open for us now to be able to pray to God the Father. What God is calling us to do now is to see those realities and then take advantage of the situation. How do we do that? We take advantage by praying for ourselves and praying for others. What I want to do now is I'm going to go on to what I call my daily prayer guide. When it comes to my daily prayer guide, we used to do kind of a generic version of something like this to the congregation. I used to do a more detailed version that was my own, so I'm always updating the one for the congregation, updating my own. What I did is I brought together finally my own along with the one for the congregation. So now we have a prayer guide that is much more detailed, but I really believe it's something that each of you could use on a daily basis, and it will be a blessing to you, and it will be a blessing to many others. So if you look at the prayer guide just below the block at the top, you'll see it comes to what I say a good way to begin our prayers. And embedded in that section there in 1 through 4, we have the ACTS prayer format. You can see it in red. So we are going to God to adore him because of who he is. We are going to confess that we are sinners. We are going to him to thank him for all the blessings he has given us. And we are going to him asking him to supply us with what we need. Not that you have to do it every day, but I want to encourage you, though, to think at least several times a week to begin your daily prayers by praying through this section here in 1 through 4. And I want to invite you even now to pray through that with me. Let us pray. Dear God, I adore you for being eternal, unchangeable, all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere, holy, just, faithful, good, merciful, and gracious. I confess that I have sinned against you and others in my thoughts, by my words, and with my deeds. I have fallen far short of your will for my life. Please forgive me. I thank you for creating me and loving me, for sending your Son to take my sins and my punishment, for your wonderful gift of forgiveness through Jesus, and for providing all that I need. Please supply me with love for your holy word, strength to put off my old self and put on my new self, concern for the needs of all people, and desire to glorify you in all I say and do. Amen. I hope you use that often. It's very carefully based on scripture. You can see in the blue there, I put a number of scripture references. And I would encourage you each day maybe to look up a passage or two, see what it says, see how it relates to that particular prayer. And then after that, I want to just work through the 7 days real quick, pointing out some of the highlights so you can see what it says. You can understand it a little bit better and hopefully use it and benefit from it day by day. So looking at Sunday, I'm asking you to pray for yourself, for family members, friends, and so on. And I'm asking you to make tending with us a high priority for at least 4 different reasons. Number 1, that you would come to hear, understand, believe, and apply God's holy word. If you come and the word of God goes in one ear and out the other, that's not really going to benefit you. So I want you to come for all those reasons. Number 2, I want you to come to grow in repentance. Grow in knowing that you're a sinner and being sorry for your sins, and grow in embracing Christ alone as your Savior. Number 3, I want you to grow in being certain, absolutely certain, that in Christ Jesus alone your sins are forgiven. And then we have a whole week ahead of us. We want to seek out God's will for every circumstance of our lives, knowing that his will is always best. And then in number 4, in a sense, we have a little bit of the law here as we go to the confirmation vows. But at the same time, though, God wants us to know that by following what we have vowed, we are honoring him, and we are benefiting in the process. What have we vowed? We have vowed to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully. We have vowed to live according to the word of God. We have vowed to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. What will God do? As we are faithful in using his word and gathering here, God will be faithful in strengthening our faith, in assuring us that we are forgiven, in keeping us in Christ, in showing us His will for our lives. There are all kinds of benefits for us as we follow what we have vowed. Going on then to Monday, we come to the topic of priorities. You know, we live in a world today where even Sunday is a very busy day in America. And it takes some determination to gather here on Sunday. So we are praying here on Monday that God would fix our priorities in such a way so that God may enable us to pass through things temporal without losing the things eternal. Right now, as we gather here today, we're focused on things eternal. We know that we are sinners, which can't condemn us eternally, but we know that Christ is Savior, so that we know that through Him we are saved eternally. But when we get into Monday, we can easily forget about that. And what happens to some people? They're all involved on Sunday, and by the time they get to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they have been pulled so far away from God that they don't come back the next Sunday, and maybe they don't come back for months or years, or maybe never, because they allowed the world to get a hold of them, they had the wrong priorities, and they're lost forever. God is saying, don't let that happen to you. There are other things there on Monday, too. I would encourage you to pray for all those different things, but I do want to focus on something that is just super important, and this is especially for parents who have younger children. In Deuteronomy 6:6-9, we see Moses basically addressing parents in verse 6. So he says to them, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." So if something is upon our heart, it's important to us. We are thinking about it. We are wanting to incorporate it into what we do in our lives. We're wanting to tell others about it. It is just right there at the center of who we are. God is saying to all parents, let the Word of God be that for you, and that will be a great blessing to you. Well, let me share something on the side here that I think is so important. As I have talked with a lot of parents over the years, when I think about parents of older children, when those older children, when they are super faithful in continuing in the Word of God, continuing in worship, continuing to live for Christ, continuing to share their faith with others, I'm not sure if there's any greater joy for a parent than knowing that their children are continuing in such ways. And I'm not sure if there's anything much more sad for a parent than seeing that even though they tried in some way to impress the Word of God upon their children, now those children seem to be apart from the Bible, maybe apart from Christ, apart from living that faithful Christian life. So this is the answer right here, though, in Deuteronomy 6. This is the formula. If only young parents would follow it with their children according to what it says, that way, as you grow older as a parent, you can have great joy knowing what you did with your children when they were young and knowing now that they are continuing in Christ, they are passing Christ on to the grandchildren and on to the great-grandchildren, and you can take great joy in that. So what's it saying here? First of all, in 6, the parents would take the Word of God very seriously. And then in 7, it's talking about how parents are now to communicate that Word of God to their children. So it says, impress them, in other words, these commandments, impress them on your children. When and how? Talk about them, about these commandments, when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So when parents know the Word of God well, then they're to take every opportunity every day in order to impress that Word upon their children. How else are parents supposed to do this? As it says in verses 8 and 9, they are to take these things that symbolize the commandments of God, and they are to tie them as symbols on their hands. They are to bind them on their foreheads. They are to write them on the door frames of their houses and on their gates. In other words, they are to take the things of God and to saturate the lives of their children with these things, and to do it day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until finally those children have the Word of God incorporated so thoroughly into their lives that now they are going to continue in that way, and hopefully they will do the same with their children, and so on. Just so very important. Going on to Tuesday and Wednesday, this is a time where I'm encouraging you to make sure you take home the current weekly news. So each week you can come here and get the weekly news. If you can't be here one week for some reason, go to our church website. You can look at it there. You can print it off and have a copy for yourself. And there's all kinds of things I mention here on Tuesday and Wednesday. You can really look at that on your own. But what I'm trying to do there is we have a lot of things that you probably don't think about praying for without having some kind of a guide like this. Without the guide, you might pray for a little bit of it, but with the guide, though, what it does, it greatly expands who you're thinking about in your prayers. And God will use that to bless you, and God will use you to be a blessing to others. Let's go on then to what it says on Thursday. Thursday, we're putting our attention a little bit more on the members of Bethlehem. And the way I do that in my own practice is I take a copy of not our pictorial directory, but our regular printed directory. And every Thursday, during my devotion time, I grab out that copy of the directory, and I turn to the page I'm on, and then I'll look at a whole page of names, and I'll go ahead and pray through all that whole list of names on that one page of the directory. Sometimes as I'm doing so, I'm thinking, oh, I should call so-and-so. I should drop a note to so-and-so. So I'm thinking about people. I'm praying for them. I'm reminded about different things in their lives. Then when I get done with that page, I mark the date at the bottom, and then I put my directory away. But that way, the following Thursday, though, I grab the directory out. I forget what page I did last week, but I look at the dates at the bottom. I can find where I prayed last week, so I know what page I'm on this week. Go ahead and pray through that page again. So I think I've gone through the directory, I think I went through it 4 or 5 times last year. So it's just a little bit each week, but it's a way to remember all the members of the congregation and to try to be a blessing to them. I would encourage you to do that. Also, too, on Thursday, you can see I'm inviting you to pray for the leadership team members. I'm inviting you to consider how God maybe is calling you to be a teammate in some way. Also, you can see with praying again for families and also praying for our child care center, a very important ministry here at Bethlehem. And then going on to Friday on the back of the sheet, now we're thinking more toward the weekend. You know, when I think about my week, your week is probably different than mine, but my week always used to begin on Monday, and then it would kind of go along Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe Thursday then. It's kind of working its way down to Friday, to the end of my work week, if you will. But now, though, my week is usually a little bit easier early on in the week, like Monday or Tuesday, but my week is kind of ramping up toward the weekend. So everything is kind of focused in that direction because I'm hoping and praying that you'll come. I'm hoping and praying that you'll come with open minds and open hearts and attentive to hear the Word of God. And I'm hoping that not only for myself, but all who are serving in some way or getting ready for Sunday morning, I'm hoping we can all do our very best job with the blessing of God so that your time here is very worthwhile time. So that's what we have on Friday a little bit, and also on Saturday. So you can see on Friday, we're thinking about our Bible classes and various age groups and so on. And then on Saturday, we're thinking about people getting ready on Saturday to serve on Sunday. So I would encourage all of you who serve in some way, don't just kind of show up and wing it. That's not the best thing to do. But rather, it's good to think, okay, I'm scheduled to serve in this way. I want to think about it a little bit, make sure I'm ready to go. If I'm a teacher, I want to make sure I look at the lesson. I want to make sure that I understand it. I want to make sure that I'm applying that to my life so now I'm ready to teach it to somebody else. All important things that I have listed here. You can see on Saturday, we also mentioned our Stephen ministry. So we have people who are trained and equipped to be a blessing to others. If you need that blessing, go and see them. If you know of someone who could use that blessing from them, talk to me or talk to one of the Stephen ministers so we can be that blessing. And then on Saturday, too, you'll see where it has personal preparation for divine service. So let's look at points 1-4 here. It says, choose which service you will attend. So I think we live in a world more today where people are almost like, should I gather and receive God's word and sacrament? Should I go to the ball game? Should I do the breakfast buffet? And it's kind of like sometimes those are like on equal footing, and it's like, well, wait a minute now. Isn't the word of God a lot more important than those other things? And shouldn't we be making God a priority in our lives? God makes us a priority in his life. God is always thinking about us. He's always loving us. He's always blessing us. He's always providing for us. So God wants us to respond to him with faithfulness. So I'm saying you should choose which service you're going to attend. And keep in mind, you have promised to do so. Remember the confirmation vows from the first page here. But especially, though, know that when you come with an open heart, God will richly bless you. And if you choose not to come, then you're kind of pushing away the blessings of God. Does God ever want us to push his blessings away, especially his eternal blessings? By no means. And then number 2 there, I'm encouraging you, if the readings are published, sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't, take a look at them. And if you do so, that way, you know, bring your own Bible with you. Mark your Bible, bring it with you, open it up during the time of the readings. You'll get a lot more out of it that way. Number 3, it's saying to prepare for the Lord's Supper. So God wants us to remember what the Lord's Supper is. He wants us to remember that we are sinners. He wants us to be assured that in Christ we are forgiven. A good way to prepare is to take a look at those pages in the catechism that I've noted there in the prayer guide. And then, once we are ready ourselves, why not reach out to someone else, maybe who doesn't come very often, maybe a neighbor, maybe a friend, and say, hey, I'm planning to go to Bethlehem Lutheran tomorrow. Could I pick you up? Could I meet you at the door? Could I somehow invite you to be with us so that you might also receive the blessings of God? And then finally, the last part here is on the topic of outreach. And we have all kinds of resources here at Bethlehem. So by our main entrance, down our hall, in our narthex, all kinds of resources, but you'll never use them unless you're first of all familiar with them. So what I would challenge any of you to do is each week take simply one resource. So pick up one brochure, pick up one magazine, pick up one sermon copy, pick up one DVD, whatever it might be, but pick up that resource, take a look at it during the week, and if you think it's good, I bet as you're reading it, God's going to bring somebody's name to mind to say, wow, so-and-so would really benefit from this resource. So once you're familiar with it, then pass that on to the other person, pray for God's blessing upon that person, and you don't know what God might do. But we simply want, here at Bethlehem, we want to bless those who come, but we want to reach out to those who do not yet come as well. One final thing here I wanted to mention would be this yellow bookmark you received. Some of you know about it. Maybe some of you already use it. It's been reworded a little bit, so if you use something like this, I would encourage you to use the new one. But you simply up at the top write a couple names of people that you think probably do not yet know Jesus as Savior. And then you can simply pray down through the prayer. And it's a great way to insert the names at times, but it's a very logical prayer of beginning with God, getting their attention, bringing them to Christ, keeping them in the Word, uniting them to a Bible-believing church, and so on. So I challenge you to make use of that at least once a week, if not more than that. Pray for those people that God might bring them to Christ as Savior. Since the good Lord has saved us through Jesus, now he is calling us to live lives of devotion that will bless us and that will bless others. I hope and pray that God will help each of us to use my daily prayer guide so that God is honored, and again, so that he uses each of us to be a special blessing to others. And all God's people said, Amen.